It's Wednesday night, June 3rd.
By your Spirit, Lord, we ask that you would be present among us today, O Lord.
Yes.
That your truth would come forth. That it would not be our own thinking. It would be, we would have your mind here, Lord. We thank you that that is something that just happens regularly here.
Yes,
we ask that it would happen tonight by your Spirit.
Your Amen. Revelation.
Mm.
Yes. Amen.
I'm trying to think way, way back. I'm not sure what book it was in, but was it Elijah or Elisha? They were going to baptize this fellow. Whatever they were going to do to him. Or he had to go into the water and wash. He said, I don't want to go into the muddy Jordan.
Right.
I want to go into the this nice river that's in Egypt or somewhere.
Just thought it was a dumb thing to do.
Yeah, I don't want to go to the
cleanse the leprosy.
Yeah, the muddy Jordan to be cleansed. And and what did he do? Have to go seven times, didn't he?
I think so, yeah. Dip seven times.
And he just didn't want to do it. He wanted to go into the nice waters of wherever it was. He was an Egyptian or?
I think he was from Syria.
Syria, yeah. I was going to say, yeah. Like the River Styx or something. Hmm. He said, I want to go there and be washed. And somebody counseled him. He said, would you rather be healed than what? the clean water? And he finally did it or something. And on the seventh time he went into the water, he was healed.
Yeah, cleansed the leprosy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think about that sometimes. Yeah, he was tested.
Yeah.
Are you willing to do a dumb thing or not?
Yeah, he was a Syrian general or something.
I think he was a general.
Who was telling him? Elijah?
Elijah or Elisha?
I don't remember if it was Elijah or Elisha. Yeah,
yeah.
One of them. It might have been Elisha, the second one.
Well, I think that's the one that Jesus was telling him about in the fourth chapter of Luke, wasn't it?
Have fire come down from heaven and zap these people? Or?
Listen,
he was giving a testimony.
Yeah, Luke 4:18.
The days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years, sent to Zarephath in the region of Sidon. No, that's about a woman.
Elias. No.
Chapter 4.
Who's it?
Okay. I'm going to share this is the same one. This is in Luke 4:27.
I think it is the same one.
Yeah, this is it. Naaman, the Syrian, who didn't want to be washed in the dirty Jordan. And that's when they heard his story of what had happened. Then they rose up and they were angry, they wanted to throw him off a bluff.
Yeah.
So he gives two examples of people that were not Israelites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The woman and the...
And that made them all mad.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it was Naaman, the Syrian.
Thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way.
I get a kick. I kind of like to see how he did that. Yeah. With some of those things.
Well, you know what? He walks through the wall. The two disciples are on their way to Emmaus. And they're walking along, and right after the Jesus had risen from the dead. But, I mean, and the next thing they know, they're joined by this guy.
Yeah, he kind of appears.
And he starts talking to him, and I said, what's your problem? How come your guys are so sad? And they said, well, are you a stranger around here? You don't know what would happen. That's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we can be doing the same thing.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You mean to tell us you don't know anything about what's been happening here?
Mm-hmm.
And here he is, the object of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they made a strange statement after they knew who he was, and they said this, and I thought, how many times have I experienced something similar to this? They said, did not our hearts burn within us?
Mm-hmm.
As he was talking. I a lot of times in the morning, I'll be sitting at the table and we're eating breakfast, Chuck and I, and scriptures are playing, and all of a sudden, the scripture, there's something that's being brought. And it just brings me to tears, you know, because the reality of the scriptures are really sinking in. That's not just a story; that's the truth. Those are things that actually happened. A lot of the church, it's like they're fairy tales, you know. They're not really real. That's why I told him I'm not much for puppets or not much for the little animals that are imitations of the people, you know.
Yeah.
If we got little people, things that look like people that are puppet or are talking, that's one thing. But at least they got to look like a people. Now Chuck, he looks like a people.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. Yeah, you are a person.
I can see that.
That is true, though.
Yeah.
When you start injecting these unreal things, you plant a seed of unbelief.
Yeah.
Or fiction, or whatever, you know.
Or delusion.
Well,
becomes magical.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah. One thing it's not is magic.
Right. Which that's what the whole world wants to see.
Is yeah, that's right.
Something be magical, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I've had the thought before. It's like, it's not magic, but it's, oh shoot, I don't know what the thought is. But when the spirit moves, it's a totally different thing.
Oh yeah, that's miraculous.
Yeah. Can't think of it. I had a thought, there was always a thought pattern where I could differentiate between magical and, you know.
Uh-huh. Supernatural.
Yeah, supernatural, that's what it is, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. I remember thinking, you know, with Harry Potter stuff, you know, doing all that magic stuff.
Yeah.
And I just objected to it. It might be okay for somebody that's not in any kind of spiritual situation or whatever. But we live in the supernatural. And you start confusing it with some other deal like Harry Potter.
Right.
And
yeah, that's good.
Well, that's what the devil's got all that stuff out there is to try to
wizards
take people away from the truth.
Right, right. You know? Just to be a one with a whole bunch of other things. The supernatural is unique. Now the devil can do some magic stuff, but the supernatural is unique. And you try to make it not unique, and you're telling a lie or something. You know, you're sowing bad things.
Mm-hmm. I saw a little blip of a woman. I think it was a kind of like an advertisement for that. The program that comes on after the news. Anyway, so this lady's just fretful. I mean, she's like just, she says, I don't know how I can bring my child up in this atmosphere. I mean, just totally fear, you know, and no hope of anything, you know. How can I bring my child up in a world like this? All this going on, you know, it's like, you know, you need to have a relationship with the one who controls it all, and then you wouldn't have this fear driving you nuts, you know.
Yeah, boy, if this were the whole deal, it would be despair, but it is not.
Yeah,
for me,
not me.
Who cares? A little bad. You know, it's too bad. You know, but
yeah, they're living in despair. A lot of them.
Yeah,
that's a horrible place to live. You know?
Oh, it is. Oh, it is.
Lord, hopefully you have a plan coming up to bring something to take away the despair.
Yes, amen.
To those who are open.
Mm-hmm. Because there are, I'm sure, millions and millions, one set of circumstances or another, you know, but
and then, Lord, just reveal your truth.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Lord, just reveal your truth.
That's right.
And you know, in a situation like it's getting to be in our age right now, it will have, if they come to him, it'll have such an impact, I think. It'll be like night and day to them, you know. The transition they'll have from natural to spiritual.
Where is it, Keith, where it talks about men's hearts failing them for fear?
That's what I was going to...
Is that maybe 1 Corinthians 15 or something? I don't know.
I think it's like maybe at the end of Matthew, but I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah. Men's hearts failing them for fear.
Yeah.
That's the situation you're talking about here.
Yeah, that's the thing coming upon the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking of that verse 72. I'm not really sure where it is. It could be the end of Matthew.
Anyway, it describes pretty well the...
Yeah.
What's...
Well, I tell you what. Corky's a little bit more familiar with it, but I've kind of gone through the mill a little bit on this thing, too. And because before I came back here 50 years ago, I had one of the scariest dreams I ever had. And no matter where I looked, the world was on fire. And we were up on this little lake I grew up on. And when they were sitting there, and you're right up next to me, and I said, let's go jump in the lake, because everything was on fire. And we went and we turned and looked down over the hill, and the lake was on fire. So what's changed is the picture from what we got going on now. You know? And so because of that's what happened, I've gone to sleep a couple of times. I kind of looked out the windows to see if there was fire going on. You know, and somehow I think we're going to get through this thing. And well, what's going to happen is what needs to happen, I think, is a lot of people are going to get open to the Lord. I think a lot of people are going to get open.
As people realize that they can't do it,
yeah,
they become a lot more open to religion.
Well, and what people need to hear is they need to hear some hope, not philosophies. They need to hear some truth, you know. That's not really the church is not concerned about truth. Well, you know, I just felt this is what I should say last Sunday, or on Sunday, so that's why I said I would say it. You know, what do you mean this is what you felt like? It gets to be different when the Spirit of the Lord starts moving on you. And when it says that God said to Moses, he said, I'm going to put my words in his mouth. Guess what?
He did that.
That's what he wanted to do that to us.
Mm.
That scripture, am I interrupting? That scripture is Luke 21:26.
Ah, 21:26. Men's hearts failing them.
Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking toward those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken.
So while I was looking for that, thinking it wasn't at the end of Matthew and then it wasn't at the end of Mark, because I thought maybe
you hadn't quite gotten to Luke yet.
So. But I just come across something that we talked about before we turned on the tape. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Now listen to this. In my name. And this is Jesus speaking. In my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So that kind of follows with you get baptized in his name, then you're going to use his name to do this also.
Well, and because God has given him the authority.
Right. And it says that's the name above every name, every other name.
Yeah, right.
Every
God name. Has given him the power and the authority. You know what it says? God has, how does it say that? It's in Matthew 28:18. All power has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. Meaning what? All power is given to him. What does that have to do with us? Go ye therefore. Because he will delegate that same power to us.
Uh-huh.
I was listening, and you guys have probably been doing this maybe too, but I was listening to it's not a parable, it's a, well, who knows what it is. Where Jesus is talking about Lazarus and the rich man. And
kind of just a story, more like it.
Huh?
Yeah, it's more like a story. It's not a parable necessarily, or an example.
I'm sure it's probably something that happened.
Yeah.
But anyway, and we don't realize. I mean, this is the Old Testament now. And anyway, Jesus said, "Well, they have Moses and the prophets." And this rich man says, but if Lazarus rose from the dead, they went to my brothers, they would believe. And we don't realize this. We think, well, these miracles are really going to have an effect on people. Yeah, what? It's the Word of God that has effect.
Mm-hmm.
That's what changes you. It's God's Word that changes us.
Yeah.
He says, if they couldn't believe or hear Moses and the prophets, they won't be changed, even if they see somebody raised from the dead. The human mind says raise them from the dead, but the truth of God says, hear my word and take care of it.
Uh-huh.
The word of God is how to say that in Psalm 19. The word of God is perfect,
converting the soul. Yeah. As you were saying that, I realized. You probably don't have to worry too much about Harry Potter.
No.
Because whether it's a miracle or a magic or whatever, the thing that's going to do it is the Word.
Exactly.
The Word of God.
Exactly. Without mentioning any names, I know several people. I have a testimony out here that's written down from somebody that I love and know really well. And they said that the Word of God has become our life. And I think it has. And you know what? I've always kind of thought it was. I've always kind of felt it was. But until the next thing you get eating and drinking and breathing, now you realize it does become your life. I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm not saying that I can always get right into a framework of prayer, but I tell you what I find myself doing: saying the name Jesus over and over and over and over and over and over. Because it has become something. It sure makes it a lot easier to live righteously if you keep that demon on your lips and in your heart.
It is, at least for me, I am living a life of joy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not particularly because of natural circumstances. It's just joy. Joy from, joy from the Word, the Lord, the truth, whatever. Joy is the life I live.
Even when you can't go walk the dogs, huh?
That's right.
Right? There's still joy.
Yeah, right. Right. wouldn't that be nice to walk those dogs?
But I mean, that's, a lot of people, if they can do that, they'd be devastated.
Mm-hmm.
The old days, just moaning and groaning because they can't. Got something else going?
No, we're going.
Keith, as you were sharing about there on the road to Emmaus, and then after he's gone, after Jesus is gone, it kind of crashes through. What just happened here?
What's strange? They're on this trip. As soon as they realized it was him, they turned around and went back.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Well, I realize that is the pattern, though. With Susan with the angel, she had this little old lady come in with a cardigan, black, fooling around with the stuff around, and And then she patted Susan and said, it's all going to be all right. You know. And then it was later on she found out, wow, we don't have anybody like that. You know. And the fellow that helped you up the hill there, it was later on you start. And that's kind of the pattern. You don't realize what's going on until later on.
I think one time, a number of years ago, I had a doctor and a nurse, both that were angels. Maybe a sacred heart, I'm not sure where it was at. But it was the night that I fell down and opened up my, I fell against the Buick. And we went over to the clinic, the Marshfield Clinic over here, and they said, no, you need x-rays. So we went down to get me some x-rays. And it was gas pretty good here. And here was the strangest doctor and nurse that I have ever met. I don't think either one of them was a doctor or a nurse. And he said, well, what have you done here for? And I said, well, they wanted me to come down and take an x-ray. I'm sure they called him. He said, I don't believe in x-rays, he says. Can you imagine a doctor saying that?
Doctor didn't believe in x-rays, huh?
I don't believe in x-rays. And he says, no, he says, that's opened up. You have a problem. So he comes and he sits it up. Meanwhile, him and the nurse are joking. It's a big deal. I just felt really good about it, you know. I thought, I'm going to live anyway, I'm sure. They were just weird, strange. They were good, the nice people, you know.
This is sort of the way of the Lord, though.
Yeah.
Things are done in a way that when they're done, there's no proof.
All right.
But I mean, you're not going to have a case to make. You're not going to be able to show someone evidence. You're left with a faith decision.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this person was here. Did you see him? No. We don't have anybody here like that. Well, wait. Now, did I imagine this? Or, you know, and then you're left. You know, you're left with, well, did God just visit me? Did I just have an angel of the Lord? And you go, must have been.
Because you
won't deny what you know.
And the things that happen are so strange and so real. That angel had to be an angel. I never thought about it. It just happened, and birthday's coming. Oh, brother, about to go from here to the wall. There was a big flash that shining right at me. And so I didn't say anything because he saw this guy helping me, you know. And I realized later on that what I had done, I swung my empty cooler, right through him. I swung it right through him, and that's what caused me to lose my balance. I started to fall, and he grabbed me. Stop me from getting shish kebab. So I didn't say anything, you know, for a while. I finally said to Brittany, I said, I'm sure glad that guy was standing there. I said, what guy? And then I got the heebie-jeebies. I realized, you know what, there wasn't any guy there.
You know, there's just some things that are, it's God's personality that comes, you know. You just know him from his personality. Like you say, Corky, there's no proof.
And it seems to be set that way.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it really happens in a way that you know this happened, but you can't prove it.
Right.
You know, but you know it happened. So now, and then you're left with, you know, I, that situation with Susan that you mentioned, I was probably with her in that room 99.8% of the time. I literally left the room for 2 minutes. And in that 2 minutes, this person came in, stopped this alarm from thing, got her IV set, told her she's going to be fine, and was gone all in 2 minutes.
And you never saw it.
Never saw anybody coming or going. But I can tell you that the machine that was alarming stopped alarming. I can tell you that the IV that wasn't in her arm was now in her arm. So I know it happened. And she describes this person, and we were just so grateful. And, you know, one of the nurses coming around says, well, who is this person? Because I'd really like to thank him. Cause they, and she describes him, and the nurse goes, we don't have anybody like that here. And Susan's looking at the IV that's running and the machine that's not beeping going, well then. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, I didn't see a thing. And it's like, you know, it had to be, as soon as I was out of sight, then it's like, God had to move.
Yeah, the speed of an angel is fast.
Well, and how many times have you prayed with people, you know, people who are in trouble, and you pray with them, you know, and you're in the room by yourself with you and the person you're praying, something happens.
Yeah.
No one else is around. They know it, you know it, and everyone else, you know, comes in and goes, what happened? Just praying. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just, you know.
When Bob and Pauline's Hayes, one of, I think it was their first little girl. Was it Nikki?
Naomi?
Naomi?
Or Nicole. Maybe Naomi. Nicole is the oldest one, I think.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Oh. In those days, we used to have a lot of strange things happening. And one time, she's just little, and she stood right to the left of the piano, looking up, she was looking up ahead, and she stood there for an hour, just hypnotized. And finally, Pauline said, what are you looking at? She said, I'm looking at those angels.
Mm-hmm.
You know? She wouldn't have done that, you know what I mean?
Right.
She saw some angels.
Yeah.
We couldn't tell.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have enough faith.
Mm.
That's a common problem. Rears its ugly head an awful lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a realm that's all around us. That if we can see it, that would be your bananas.
I'm really thankful for how far the Lord has taken us.
Yeah.
And then I stop and go, I have so much more to go.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's just like, you know, you think about the I don't know what the right way is, the irony of if you had faith, you could move a mountain. If you had the faith of a mustard seed, then you go, well, wait, isn't that the smallest seed?
Yeah.
So if you had the faith of the smallest seed, you could move a mountain. Well, I can't move a mountain, so I don't even have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you know. And then the flip side is, you know, someone once pointed out, a mustard plant grows to be like a tree. So the tiniest little seed grows mm-hmm. into be like the biggest vegetable, the biggest plant, and you go.
Yeah, I think Jesus said that.
Yeah, the birds nest in its...
Right, right, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's explaining to us just how much of an enigma God can be.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. tell you, all you need is just this much faith and you can do. You know, well, clearly don't have that much faith.
Yeah.
Although I do have a little bit of a testimony. And not that, you know, but the product for certification has arrived and the testing is going, and I received notice that it's going well, and more importantly, is they paid for it. So,
oh.
So real money.
Paid for your the testing on your end?
Paid for the equipment that we sent them.
Oh.
So they, okay. The deal is they wanted X amount of equipment to test, and some of it might be destructive, and but they didn't ask us to donate that. They paid for
it. I see. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so hopefully it goes well. No. There's a lot could happen to me. We are building in two sets. And once the first set's done, then we can go ahead and build the second set and get paid for that. And so we told the people, don't build the second set until we tell you the first set's done. We get an email, second set's being built to be ready to pick up next week.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know that it's good or not. So I talked to my partner, who's a Christian. I said, not sure how you feel about praying about inanimate things, but we really want to pray hard now that they're going to say, you know what, this is good to go, and we don't have to scrap that and eat that cost and suffer this delay because they want this stuff. Once they know it's good, they're going to want to get it and move it right away. So we pre-bought a bunch of things so we could save time. And yeah, they went ahead and started building it anyway, so maybe they know something we don't. I just kind of laughed. Because at the same time, I get an email. Testing's going well. When can we get the next stuff?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you tell me the first stuff is good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's kind of. So it's a testimony, but as I like to say, you know, God gives me a step and then holds another step just out of my reach.
Yeah.
It is close.
Can't be simple. Did your brother get out to Long Island all right?
Mm-hmm. I assume he's there and got back. He hasn't called me. I was thinking I probably got to talk to him. Probably give him a call. Well, maybe when we get back. See how he's doing. But, yeah, he didn't say. We can be. I just wanted to make that testimony.
Oh, no, sure. That's fine. Yeah. But I haven't heard anybody anxious to throw something else out.
Yeah,
Well, you mean there might be some other things that isn't ready for outreach, and we should probably stop the team.
No,
well, it might be though, but
that was for Shelley's benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to stop, or there might be something more?
Nothing more.
Thank you all.
Mm-hmm.
I love you.